January the 1st, Happy New Year, everyone. It is now officially New Year's everywhere. It should be, I think, everywhere in the world. Yeah, of course it is. We've got eight games, is that right? I don't know. We've got enough games to keep us busy for today. We have someone returning, maybe, not out of nowhere, but a little bit surprising. Some good news to wake up to. This is the Wednesday pregame show. Let's go balls deep. I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Come on, brothers with me. Come on, brothers with me. I'm Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. Please go and subscribe, go and like all of that stuff. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad. On Twitter, we have eight games coming at us tonight. Some players returning, some injuries. We will get into all of that. But before we get into the basketball stuff, I will just start by sending thoughts out to those in New Orleans impacted by the tragedy. I woke up to that news this morning. I mean, we hear about these things here in Australia, over in America, and it obviously doesn't, well, usually doesn't have a direct impact on us, unless it is someone you know, but having been to New Orleans, and to that spot, it does. I don't know, hit home a little bit, makes it a little bit more real. Thoughts out to those impacted and those in New Orleans, and having met so many nice people when I was there. It is an absolute tragedy what happened there overnight. Yes, Chad was going to ask about Pelicans. Yeah, they do play tonight, but they're on the road. They're in Miami. So I did see the Sugar Bowl, which I'm assuming is a college football game. My lack of knowledge of college football has been postponed. Not surprising at all. But yes, let's get into some positive news, some fantasy basketball news, and the games tonight. First game, Chicago at Washington. Zach LaVine is questionable for the Bulls. Torrey Craig, after his breakout performance, he's done enough, I guess, for the season. So he will take the night off. He's out. For the Bulls, Lonzo, we're monitoring Lonzo. He played 26 minutes in that last game, closed the game over Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey also playing really well. So is Lonzo worth streaming tonight? Maybe. I don't know. Eight games is tough. Eight games is about right in terms of having a full active lineup. But I do know in a few of my lineups, I've got some streaming spots. So Lonzo, if you want to take a bit of a flyer, but we're still not there, I don't think, with him as someone we need to advocate for as a must roster or a must stream player. Patrick Williams has been playing okay. Good minutes. He's probably in that category as well. For the Wizards, Jordan Poole is questionable to return from his hip issue. Bob Carrington is in, so he was hit in the head, dealing with some headache symptoms, but seemingly okay and good to go. So who are we looking at here? If Jordan Poole plays or doesn't play, that impacts guys like Carrington and Champagne, Kispert, all of those fringe sort of 12-team players. So if Poole is in, probably not a lot of streaming value here. If Poole is out, then I would look at Carrington, I would look at Champagne, and then to a lesser extent, Kispert. We're also keeping an eye on the Jonas Valanciunas, Alex Saar rotation. What do the minutes look like? Are we back to 20? Well, closer to a split than we were 2-3 weeks ago? Or has this just been a sort of a wacky schedule and we're going to go back to 15 minutes of Valanciunas? Because 20 to 22, he's probably worth rostering. 15, 16, probably not. Orlando at Detroit. Jalen Suggs is probable. He wasn't able to close that last game due to a wrist injury. So good news that he is probably going to play. With him in, Anthony Black, Cole Anthony, Gary Harris, they all lose some value. Probably, much like those Bulls, the Wizards guys, probably not worth rostering, I don't think. Caldwell Pope has been playing well, I guess, by his standards, for fantasy standards. He has an impact, obviously, all the time, but he's getting some steals. He's hitting some threes. I think I picked him up somewhere in one league. Tristan Da Silva has been generally pretty good. I think he is probably someone we want to look at, even on a night like tonight. For the Pistons, Cade Cunningham, probable. Again, his presence has a huge impact on the value of others. Beasley, we're rostering. Tobias Harris, I guess, we're rostering still. Jalen Duren, yeah. With Isaiah Stewart back, it's harder to make a case for Duren. We'll see how he goes tonight against Goga. Asar Thompson, I still think we'll get a period where he is a rosterable player, but at the moment, the minutes just aren't there for me. Oh, Brooklyn at Toronto. The Brooklyn rotation, what is this going to look like tonight? It's not an 100% accurate reflection because Cam Thomas is out tonight, just maintenance. No concerns here about aggravation or anything as far as I'm aware. Ben Simmons will play. He's off the injury report, as is Cam Johnson. And D'Angelo Russell will make his second debut for the Nets. So we want to have a look at what's the minute split here, and I guess how much faith can we have in whatever they do tonight moving forward? Is that going to be reflective of what to expect, or is it just going to change nightly? I think we should get a good idea on Russell. Whatever he sort of does tonight is probably his floor. So if he's up at around 30, 32 minutes tonight, I think we can safely activate him everywhere. We know Cam Johnson's role. That's not changing at this point. We're looking at Noah Clowney's role with Dorian Finney-Smith gone. I mean, it'd be good to have Cam Thomas in here so we could see if Clowney actually starts. But yeah, I think Clowney is still someone we're rostering. The upside is a little bit limited, at least until the trade deadline. Keon Johnson, I picked up in a 16-team league, I think. We'll see how he goes. Honestly, it could be him. It could be Jalen Wilson. Could be Tyrese Martin, unlikely. We do have Zaire Williams to come back in at some point as well. He was questionable tonight and then downgraded, so he's getting closer. So he's another name that we have to throw into that bucket of players. So still some uncertainty, but we should get some ideas tonight regarding D'Angelo Russell. For the Raptors, Emmanuel Quickley, sort of out of nowhere. He has been slowly trending up, but still did appear that he was a week away. But he's upgraded to questionable now. This doesn't mean he's going to play, but it does mean that he's pretty close. Grady Dick also questionable after missing last night's game. And RJ Barrett questionable with an illness. I feel like this is his second illness in about 2 weeks, unless it was just the same one and it never really went away. So they are getting healthy. This five here, if they are all healthy tonight, Quickley, Barnes, Dick, Barrett and Poeltl would be their starting. This is the starting five we thought it would be coming into the season. We just haven't had it to this point. If that is the case, if they're all healthy, good to go, then we don't need to roster Agbaji or Walter or Linick or Bruce Brown is out for this second night of a back-to-back. We don't need to be rostering him either. I think the entire starting five is worth rostering. Grady Dick, we want to, he's been really good, but he obviously has benefited from all those injuries. So let's have a look at what he can do with a healthy roster. Can he still maintain value? Okay. New Orleans at Miami. So for the Pelicans, be interesting to see how they turn up for this one. Obviously, some of them, well, they'd all have ties in New Orleans, whether they're from there or most of them probably aren't, to be honest. But they work there, they live there, they play there. So, yeah, will be interesting to see if that has any impact on their play tonight. In terms of streaming, rostering, look, starting five, we roster no one else. Brandon Boston and Jordan Hawkins are the only ones, but we know with this construction here, they're not really playing enough unless it's a blowout. For Miami, Tyler Hero will play. So he was not suspended as a result of the altercation 2-3 nights ago. Jimmy Butler returns tonight as well. So Butler's return impacts Highsmith, Hakez, Jovic, all of these players that had been popping off with some good performances probably go back to being drops. Duncan Robinson, questionable. If he is out, maybe Jovic can hold on to back-end value. Maybe Hakez, but neither are overly exciting. I don't think Utah at, let's scroll down a bit there. Utah at New York. For Utah, pretty healthy at the moment. John Collins remains out with his hip injury. Who we stream, there's no real guideline here. Johnny Juzang has been started. He's okay. Michael Potter has had moments. Bryce Sensabaugh is the one that makes sense, but doesn't seem to be playing significant minutes. So I don't really think there's an add here or a pickup with Collins out, especially with eight games on tonight. Isaiah Collier, we're just monitoring him. We've talked about him a little bit. I think that he'll have value at some point. We're just not quite there yet. For the Knicks, Brunson, questionable again with his calf injury. So undoubtedly he will play and play 38 minutes. Nothing on this Knicks team when they're healthy. I saw a stat on Twitter this morning when I got up about the total minutes played by starting fives this year. And so the total number of minutes that the five starting players have spent on the court together through the first, whatever we are, 35 games. New York starting five have played, and this is from memory, 570-ish minutes. Next team, whoever was second, I can't remember who it was, were at about 290, roughly. So the Knicks starting five have played double the minutes of any other team in the NBA, which is not surprising, but it is worrying. Dallas at Houston, Kyrie off the injury report, Clay off the injury report. So that's good news. I don't know why they don't just mark these guys as rest. I mean, if you're coming back from an injury from one game, I don't know. It's just say that they're resting. Don't make up an injury. Luka Doncic and Najee Marshall still out. So with Irving back and with Clay back, the question regarding Quentin Grimes, Spencer Dinwiddie emerges again because who are we taking? I have Grimes in a couple of leagues. I didn't get Dinwiddie. And I'm okay with that. I know Dinwiddie has looked better, probably the preferred option of the two, but I still think Grimes can have some value here. Dinwiddie as well, obviously. Clay will have to do a little bit more. They're all doing a bit more with Luka out. PJ Washington, likewise, will have to do a bit more. Derek Lively is questionable to return. He's missed three games, I want to say. If he is out, Dan Gafford is the guy that we want to target there. For Houston, Dylan Brooks is available to play. Tari Eason is questionable again. He's been questionable for five or six games in a row. I at this point, I in the rosters that I have him, I'm just not even considering that he's playing, which that's whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. He's in my IR spot in a couple of leagues. I'll just leave him there. For now, Cam Whitmore has been benefiting, but really only had one or two good games. So I don't think we need to prioritize him. Amen Thompson is out due to the suspension. So that, look, that probably helps Whitmore to some degree. Tate, Reed Shepherd, I don't know. I don't know who's going to get the minutes. I don't think anyone steps in and plays 30. I think it's just Dylan Brooks is back. He will play his 30 to 32 minutes. And then we probably get mid-teens by Tate, Whitmore, Shepherd. So not a ton of obvious value there. Atlanta at Denver for the Hawks. Dyson Daniels is probable. He missed the back-to-back earlier. Or earlier in the week, or last week, whenever it was, with an illness. So that's good that he is probable. I've seen there's been video of him already this morning doing pregame stuff. So assuming he plays, Trae Young also probable with his Achilles issue, which has been ongoing. Jalen Johnson questionable. So we'll assume Trae plays, we'll assume Dyson plays. If Jalen Johnson is out, I mean, DeAndre Hunter's the obvious replacement there, but, I mean, they like him coming off the bench. So I don't know if they'd bring him in as a starter. I don't think they'd start a Kongwu alongside Capella. Maybe it's Veet Krejci. He had started a couple of games with Dyson out. Garrison Matthews has been okay as a three-point streamer. So there's some options here for the Hawks. So wait and see if Jalen Johnson is out. If he is out, I think Okongwu plays a little bit more. Hunter should be rostered everywhere anyway. And maybe Garrison Matthews gets a little bump as a three-point option tonight. For the Nuggets, Aaron Gordon remains out. Excuse me. Aaron Gordon remains out. So Russell Westbrook will remain in the starting lineup. He should be rostered. I'm assuming he is rostered everywhere. Peyton Watson hasn't stepped up to the level that we would have liked. I did add him last night in a 12-team league, but it's a very specific build. I just need defensive stats, really, and efficiency. And he tonight might be the night that he does that. We will see. I'm not really interested in anyone else there, though, in Denver. And the last game, yes, last game of the night, Philly at Sacramento. Philly are without Andre Drummond, are without Joel Embiid, who is out resting. It's a lot playing a few games in a row, so he's getting the night off. So Andre Drummond, if he plays, would likely start against Domantas Sabonis. Drummond is also questionable with his toe injury. So if Drummond is in, we probably stream him. If he's out, it has to be Yabusele, I'm assuming. And he is potentially worth a look anyway tonight with Embiid out. Kelly Oubre also questionable coming off his 8th steal game. If he is out, I don't think they'd want to start Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry is questionable because he's old. They might go with Ricky Council in that starting lineup. It's just going to be a makeshift. It would be KJ Martin, but he's out as well. So do we get an Eric Gordon sighting? Maybe. He is also questionable. It's really uncertain here. So outside of Maxi, Paul George, probably Yabusele, Caleb Martin will have to do a bit more. It's tough to know until we get some clarity on the Oubre and Drummond injuries. And for the Kings, what is that? That's my washing machine going off. Sacramento they're healthy-ish. Keegan Murray, doubtful, so he probably won't play tonight. So, of course, they won't start Doug McDermott. They'll Keon Ellis, they'll probably start Doug McDermott or maybe Trey Lyles. I'd just start Keon Ellis, for God's sake. We're not rostering Doug McDermott if he starts because he won't play starters' minutes. Maybe it means Keon Ellis gets more playing time at least off the bench. He was at about 19 or 20 minutes in the last game. If he can push to 25, I'd be relatively happy, I think. Kevin Herter, he's not doing much. He's not playing a ton, so I'm not really that interested in him. All right, let's have a look at a few quick questions and then I'll get out of here. Shining Knight, can ESPN stop slacking and marking Beal? They're not going to do that. You know that. ESPN, that's why I don't play on ESPN. Because they're very slow with updating things and the rules and regulations around who you can move into IR spots. It's similar to Yahoo to some degree. This is why I like Fantrax. As soon as someone is questionable or out or anything like that, you can move them straight into your IR spot. There's no limitations. ESPN, Yahoo, to be fair, has the IL Plus now, which does have a lot more flexibility. So that's good. We need to activate quickly. Yeah, I have him in one league tonight. If he is available to play and I can move someone into that IR slot, I will. Would I be activating him tonight if it means dropping someone? I don't know. It's a tough one. I might not, just because I think he basically hasn't played this season. He's coming off a relatively significant injury here. The Raptors, it's not like they're playing to win or anything like that. They would like to be better than they were last night. But this could be a situation where if he plays, he only plays 18 minutes, 20 minutes. So I wouldn't be against the idea of just leaving him in the IR spot tonight. Okay, so that Sugar Bowl, I'm assuming this is a Sugar Bowl-related question. College football equivalent of the Cricket World Cup semifinals. Okay, that puts it into perspective for me. Is it worth sitting Suggs for field goal percentage reasons, considering he's not? It is. He's doing more without the two big names there. But, he can hurt your field goal percentage. He has got the wrist injury. If you can sort of do without the steals, the defensive stats, then that's really where a lot of his value comes from. So on a night where, you might have a full roster and you have to sit someone, he'd certainly be a candidate, I think. It makes sense. The process makes sense. Whether it works out that way, they do play Detroit, which is a favourable matchup, I suppose, but certainly an option. Oh, Matt Carmody, would I drop Nemhard or DiVincenzo to open up a streaming spot? Nemhard, I probably would. DiVincenzo, maybe not. He wasn't as good last night, but he had been better prior to that. So Nemhard, talked about him being a rosterable player, but I don't think he is long-term. I think DiVincenzo has more chance at doing that because Conley is just almost washed. So they would love for DiVincenzo to hit any sort of a ceiling like he did last year. C. Park, what do I think about Kyle Kuzma's ceiling? One of my league is shallow, so an 18-9 cat league with Jar being injured. I'm looking at Kyle versus Trace versus Herb Jones. Who would I choose? Well, they're very different in terms of skill set. So Trace Jackson Davis is rebounds and blocks. Herb Jones is steals and threes. Kyle is really just points. So it probably would come down to a little bit of what do I need more? What categories do I need more? In terms of role, Herb Jones, I think, has the safest role at the moment. Trace Jackson Davis appears to have a pretty safe role. Kyle Kuzma has a role, but he's been injured, played the low 20s. I mean, that will scale up, but I don't even think he wants to be there. So there's a little bit of uncertainty for me, and he just doesn't do a whole lot across the board. I think you get a little bit more from Trace and Herb. So, yeah, if you don't need points, if points aren't your priority, I would go with one of those other two. Chad, just dropped Tyrese Martin to activate Suggs, so expect him to have that big game. All right, we'll keep an eye on Tyrese Martin tonight. How accurate are rest of season projections from sites like Basketball Monster or Hashtag? Look, it's one person's projections. Basketball Monster is Josh. It's what Josh thinks. That's it. Hashtag is Joseph and his projections. So I know Basketball Monster also has Kyle's projections. You can look at both and combined and that sort of thing. Everyone has their own opinion. Rankings for certain players are not as accurate as others. So obviously those that are better in low volume categories, the ranking is less accurate. Example, if I pull up the projections here. All right, so projections. Actually, let me just make this smaller so I can see it a bit easier. There we go. All right, so projections on Basketball Monster. Good example. It's a good question. Let's have a look. So Walker Kessler, I'm sure, will be a good idea, good example. Okay, so Walker Kessler is projected, according to Josh on Basketball Monster, to be the 33rd ranked player this season, averaging 11 and 11 with 1.6 assists, 0.5 steals, no threes, 58% from the line, but 70% from the field, and three blocks a game. Overall, Kessler is not the 33rd ranked player. That means he's better than LeBron James. He's better than De'Aaron Fox. He's better than Bam Adebayo. He's better than Franz Wagner, Tyrese Maxey, Cade Cunningham, Trae Young. And that is not the case. So rankings for those sorts of players, where they are elite in a low volume category, it skews it quite a lot. Trey Murphy is actually a decent example of where I think rankings can be a little bit misleading. Let me just find him here. So Trey, in a 9-cat league on Basketball Monster, is projected to be the 26th ranked player. He is not a borderline second rounder, but that's because he doesn't really hurt you anywhere. His percentages are both pretty good. He gets you 1.1 steals, which makes that a positive. He hits threes. And we've seen this from him before. A couple of years ago, he was 50th ranked or 60 or something. He was ranked high enough that people went, oh, we need to be rostering this guy. And that wasn't the case. So, yeah, I mean, take away from rankings what you will. But I use them as a guideline, obviously, and we have to have some sort of a baseline to work from. But you do need to be aware of the flaws in standard rankings. And Josh does talk about that all the time, and that's why he prefers to go with the minus one rankings and things like that. Was available. Okay, Dinwiddie, someone grabbed it. Yeah. Look, if Dinwiddie was available in the league, so you grabbed him, yeah. I would was Dinwiddie available in my league before I chose Grimes? Ooh, was he? I think he was. I did have Grimes as my preferred option. And I still don't think we've had a good sample size of what their roles look like, because Kyrie has missed a game, Clay has missed a game, PJ Washington was suspended. So I had Grimes as my slight priority over Dinwiddie, and that was just because I figured he would play slightly more minutes, but I did think both of them were worth rostering. I just went down the Grimes path, and that may end up being the wrong decision, but that's okay. Is it worth dropping Jakob Poeltl for PJ Washington due to Luka's injury? I mean, Poeltl is a worry in terms of what his role is going to look like. Is he going to be on this team? Is he going to be shut down? I think Poeltl is still the better player. Washington's going to get a bit of a bump here. He is pretty inconsistent if you have Washington on your team. If dropping Poeltl for PJ Washington, I don't know if that means that PJ is available on your waivers. Maybe you've got a worse player than Jakob Poeltl that you could be dropping. Poeltl's going to take a bit of a hit if they are healthy. Well, yeah, if they're healthy tonight or into the future. But I think I'd still stick with Poeltl. Although, as I just said, a lot of his value comes from blocks and field goal percentage. So if you don't necessarily need those, PJ will certainly give you more across the board. He'll give you some assists, threes, points, defensive stats. He is just a little bit inconsistent. Is Trey the top streamer of the day with Keegan out? I don't think so. I don't know how much they'll play Trey alongside. This is Trey Lyles alongside Sabonis, only because the Sixers aren't. They're not supersized or anything. They have Drummond, but he's questionable. I'm hoping they'll lean a little bit more into Keon Ellis, maybe Kevin Huerter. They also have Alex Len there, who is in the rotation. So I don't think he is. Okay, so a rewording of the earlier question. So Jar is in your IL spot. You have an open spot in one of your shallow league. Who would I choose? Punting free throws. Who would I choose out of Kyle Kuzma, Herb Jones, and Trace Jackson Davis? I don't know. I like Trace Jackson Davis's upside. Coming into the season, we thought he was a bit of a sleeper and they just didn't play in the minutes, but they seem to be doing that now. Kuzma, I'm just not a Kuzma guy. He's very unexciting. He's a little bit like DeAndre Ayton. I just don't think he wants to be there. I think any excuse he'll get out of the lineup and that sort of thing. So I don't like Kuzma, but if you do need points, I think he would be the one to go for. Punting free throws helps Jackson Davis. Of the three of them, it helps him the most. But, yeah, so Kuzma's fine if you need points. If you don't need points, I think I'd go Trace Jackson Davis. So Cookie Monster meant points leagues. Yeah, again, yeah, look, it is one person's projections against another person's projections. Again, use them as a guideline. They are a little bit more clear cut in points leagues, the rankings or the projections, because percentages don't come into it. High volume, low volume, all of that, it doesn't matter. You just look at the settings for your league, the points. Have a look at what players have been doing. So if you're looking at projections, have a look at rankings as well and compare the two. Is there a significant difference? If so, why? Is this because... is this because of an injury or because of rotation? Unpredictability in rotations. There's reasons. So, but if you think that if you have a look at your rankings, this guy's doing this many 40 points. There's no real reason it's not sustainable, then you can stick with that. I mean, the guys that are doing these projections know their stuff. So I think that, I think you can put a bit of weight in them. Yes, it does. I just saw your question. Does that mean the rankings are usually more reliable? It does mean that the more reliable in terms of the... The reflection. So, I mean, obviously, it's the same projections for the. If you're doing a projection of whether it's points leagues or category leagues for Trace Jackson Davis, the projections of the stats are going to be the same. But when that's translated into a points league, I think it is more accurate because the rankings in a points league, in a category league for Trace Jackson Davis, he's very good in blocks. It's going to bump him up significantly. That doesn't matter in a points league. So yes, they are more accurate. All right, let's get into these just very quickly because I do have to take my daughter to work. Going into this year, Chad and Noah did a show where we discussed whether this was the worst draft class of the past decade. It was, yeah, I mean, no, I know Noah has said stuff like that. With almost everyone of note looking to at least have a solid floor in this class, overperforming, or did we just undervalue them? I mean, I don't know if everyone's... I don't know. I mean, the guys that come to mind, Eve Misi, I think projections were probably right. We just didn't know the Pelicans would be missing half their team. Reed Shepherd, who was right up the top of projections, hasn't played. Castle, I think, has probably exceeded expectations a little bit. Zach Edey has been fine. Klingon hasn't really played enough, but from what we've seen. So, yes, there are some rotation players there, which maybe we didn't think was the situation coming into the season. So maybe we did slightly undervalue them. Would I rather Paul George or Fred Van Fleet? Fred Van Fleet, I think. Yeah, I mean, both have been pretty unassuming, haven't they? Maybe it is Paul George. Paul George does seem complacent. Or I don't know. Maybe complacent. I also think his knee is pretty banged up. He's still wearing that massive knee brace. They're a little bit different. If Fred Van Fleet, a lot of his value comes from assists and steals and threes to a lesser extent. If you're not really desperate for those categories, I'd go with Paul George. He does a little bit more, I think. Scoring percentages are better. He can get assists. He can get steals. So I think I would maybe rather Paul George still. He is in a huge slump at the moment. So, yeah, I think he'll be okay. And do we have a minutes cap for IQ? I think so. I think it would make sense for them to have a minutes cap on him. So I think maybe we see 20 minutes, 22. I'm not sure, but I don't even think we've got word on whether he's playing yet. So if that's the case, do I think basketball monster rankings are usually more accurate than hashtags? I mean, I use the basketball monster ones personally. But I know a lot of people do use the hashtag ones. Which is more accurate? I don't know. I mean, I haven't gone back at the end of the year and looked at who was more accurate, who was better, who hit the nail on the head with players, who was further off. I know, actually, if you're curious about that, an interesting, I don't know if he did it last year, Matt Lawson at the end of each year usually goes back and looks at rankings or projections from the start of the season and compares it to end of season for everyone, for all of the analysts that do rankings. So I'm in there, Josh is in there, hashtag is in there. So you can look at that to have a look at who is the best, I suppose, and it does vary. But, I mean, some are worse than others. I won't say who's better and who is worse, but I know some are usually a little bit further off than others. You go with what you go with. I just use Basketball Monster, and that's really just because Josh was the one that helped me get into this space, and so I know Josh quite well, so I use his. But I think they're both certainly valid. Yeah, thumb it up in here, boys, please. Do thumb it up. Do go and subscribe and like. I am going to get out of here because my daughter's about to come banging on the door to ask me to take her to work. And sadly, I need to start work as well. I am back working from home. That's okay. But thank you, everyone, for listening today, for tuning in, whether it's now or whether it's later. Please, as I said, go and subscribe and hit that thumbs up. Do all that stuff. I will be back this afternoon with a post-game show. We will see if Emmanuel Quickley actually played. We will see what D'Angelo Russell did in his Nets debut. Should be lots to talk about. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pre-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.